السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا ونبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وأزواجه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وما أمروا إلا ليعبدوا الله مخلصين له الدين حنفاء ويقيموا الصلاة ويؤتوا الزكاة وذلك دين القيمة. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: إنما الأعمال بالنيات وإنما لكل امرئ ما نوى. Respected and dear brothers and sisters, I really would like to ignore everything that was just said, but just one excuse to myself, and that is, as we preach حسن الظن, that you should have good hope from people. So inshallah, this will be حسن الظن from our Shaykh Imam, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us according to people's حسن الظن, and always keep on covering up our faults and mistakes and shortcomings. We see a very thin skin on top of our face that makes us look very beautiful. If this thin skin is removed, there is a lot behind it that normally people won't be able to look at. If you ever happen to see a person who has a wound on his face, it's really difficult to look at those people. Not because you don't like it, it's because just the look of it is so painful to see someone in that situation. Just as soon as this very thin skin is removed, a lot of blood and the flesh that's in there and things, then the look is not something that we can see. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala really covers, we have very thin a'mal comparing to what major things we carry behind them. Through these thin a'mal, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala covers up those major things that are behind it. And everyone looks at these very thin a'mal and think that mashallah, the person is great. But this is also the fadl of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we won't have these thin a'mal covering up our major ones, people won't even look at us. And he is as-sattar subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will always do satr on us in this dunya and akhirah also. I have to change and go on to the topic that is announced and is seen on the flyer, which is about turning our time into gold. There are two very important aspects that I would like to deal with tonight. Hopefully, inshallah, we can benefit from it and we find something to adopt in our life, something that will bring some change towards the betterment, and we be better believers and do the deeds that will be more pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and inshallah, be the true servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the followers of Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The first thing that I would like to remind ourselves about, the time that we have. What is this time? Al-Hasan al-Basri rahimahullah, he was asked the question, what is time? He said, time is human being. The person couldn't understand what he means. So he went further to explain, إِنَّمَا أَنْتَ أَيَّامٌ فَإِذَا ذَهَبَ يَوْمٌ ذَهَبَ بَعْضُكَ. You are only some days. You are made of some days. And if those days are gone, you are gone. You will be gone with these days. There is certain amount of days that we are going to live. When these days are over, we will have to leave. So he said, إِنَّمَا أَنْتَ أَيَّامٌ. You are only some days. You are made of days. Your life is made of some days. When these days are gone, you will be gone. So each day when the day passes and goes by, some portion of hours is gone. And this is why someone else explained it, I may say in a tougher way, that is sometimes a little shocking when we hear it at once, but it's a reality. And he said, what is time, or what is wastage of time? He said, when a person is losing his time and not using it properly, that person is committing a partial suicide. Losing time and wasting time is partial suicide. A person who will lose his whole life, who will just take his life, he committed a complete suicide. And a person who is losing partial of his time and is just losing it, not making any use of it, he's committing a partial suicide. Because we are days, we are time. Our existence in this world is only time. When the time is gone, we are gone. So each and every second of our life is part of our life that is going. One of the scholars says, as some of the Mufassirin have narrated this, he says he went to the marketplace in Baghdad and he saw a person who was selling ice. It was a hot day and the ice is melting. That person is calling upon people, oh people, come and buy the ice quick before it would melt. So he said, when I looked at that person selling the ice and trying to sell it as soon as possible so he makes some money out of it, and the ice is melting and drops are dripping out of it, looking at that, that is the time when I really understood what does this surah means when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, wal asri innal insana lafi khusr. I swear by the time, human beings are in loss. That time is dripping. Even when we are sleeping, the time is dripping. When we are working, the time is dripping. We are eating, the time is dripping. Those seconds are not going to stop. And second by second, it accumulates and becomes a minute. It becomes an hour. It becomes a day, weeks and years of our life. And the whole life is gone before we even know it. Because of this importance of the time, we find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminding us of it again and again in Quran al-Kareem. Of course, when it comes to time, normally we call this surah, wal asri innal insana lafi khusr. And normally when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes oath by something in Quran, the reason of taking oath of that is not because that thing is greater than anything else. As Mufassirin have explained in detail, that most of the time the purpose of taking oath of something in Quran, when Allah takes oath by something, the purpose for that is because He's telling us what is the right way of using what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us. So, إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَفِي خُسْرٍ. How to make sure that we are not in al khusr? Use your asr, use your time. And then we find so many other places where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is taking oath by time. وَالضُّحَى وَاللَّيْلِ وَالْفَجْرِ وَالصُّبْحِ إِذَا تَنَفَّسِ. Day and night, morning and evening, taking oath of all of these times, reminding us what we are, what our life is. Really, everything we are is only just time, nothing more than that. And if we don't make use of this time, our life is going to just go by. It's not that it's going to stop. Wait for us to do something good and then it will start going on. Life will keep on going. And finally, the day will come when we will have to leave this world. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in a hadith, اغتنم خمسا قبل خمس. Make use of five things before they are gone and they're replaced with other five. شبابك قبل حرمك. Make proper use of youth before your old age. It's not going to stay for too long. It will go away. As the people who are on that age now, they have a lot of wishes. I wish I would have done this, this and this at that time. But it's gone. And today, those of us who are at that stage, we think I'll do it when I will get to that age. شبابك قبل حرمك. Use your youth before you get to old age. How many people who have left their youth, they entered into another period of their life, they like to perform two longer rak'ahs, they can't do it because their health does not allow them to stand for too long. They go to sujood, hardly they can say Subhana Rabbi al-A'la three times and they have to get up quickly. Their health does not allow them to be able in that sujood for too long. At this time I say I will do it then. But at that time we know people are not able to do it. Shababuk, use this youth. Use this time. Allahu alladhi khalaqakum min du'af. Allah is the one who created you in the state of weakness. ثم جعل من بعد ضعف قوة. After that weakness, He gave you some strength. ثم جعل من بعد قوة ضعف وشيبة. After that strength, again, the strength is going to go and it will be replaced with weakness and old age. Now we mentioned two things. Dhafan wa shayba. Old age and weakness. You know, the weakness in the old age is more difficult to take than the weakness at the young age. This is why Allah is mentioning two words there. Dhafan, and not only dhaf now. Before He just mentioned dhaf. He didn't mention childhood about with it. But now He says dhaf, and there is one more element with it, and that is shayba. A person who had his eyesight and lost it, God forbid, feels much worse than a person who was born blind. After having it, then losing that blessing, losing what you had earlier, makes you feel a lot about it. After having that strength and the power and the energy of doing all of these things and then losing everything and being totally dependent on people, you see how many people in their oldest complain that, oh, I wish now, I'm just waiting for my last days. You know, I became burden on people now. I become burden on others around me. All the people may not feel that it's burden, but he himself feels it because has gone through the stage where he was able to do all of these things. Now he's not able to do it. So da'fan wa shayba will come at the end. If we have this quwwah at this time, the strength at this time, we better use it at this time. This is the advice of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he's advising us, use it because it's going. It's melting, it's going. It's not going to stay for too long. Shababuk qabla haramik. Waghinaka qabla faqrik. Use your wealth before you lose this wealth. Use it. A time comes in a person's life when he feels, now at this time I don't really want to use too much of it. Subhanallah, we human beings, we go through very amazing situations, and all of us see others going through it, those who have passed this situation, who have gone beyond it, we see those people what they are going through, but I think for some reason I won't be in that situation at all. At the age of when we are able to work, we try to accumulate as much as we can. Let me get whatever I can, because there will be time when I'm going to retire, then in that age I'm going to use all of it. Then when the person gets to that age, he feels, I don't want to be really just spending too much of it. with the hope, I will be living another 50 years, so now what I'm going to do? There is a fear there in the person's mind, next 50 years I have to live with this that I have accumulated in the past, so now I won't be earning in the future, I'm dependent on this, so let me be very careful in how I use it. يَهْرَمُ إِبْنُ آدَمُ وَيَشِبُّ فِيهِ اثنتان. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, a human being keeps on getting old, and two things keep on getting younger in the person. His desires and his love for dunya keeps on getting younger. The older the person is, the more he's thinking of living. The more he's planning of his future. Subhanallah, you may not be here next year or next day, but what if I live? I don't want to be dependent on people. So he plans according to that. And this fear keeps on growing in the person. Never goes down. It keeps on growing. And this is a human nature. It's happening. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is talking about our nature. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam advising us, use your wealth at this time before you lose it, and then finally a day comes when a person leaves and then he loses everything. At the time of death, what is it that comes to the person's mind? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about it in Quran. وَأَنفِقُوا مِمَّا رَزَقْنَاكُمْ. Spend out of what we have given you. مِنْ قَبْلِ أَن يَأْتِيَ أَحَدَكُمُ الْمَوْتِ. Before the death will approach you and will come to you. فَيَقُولَ رَبِّي. Then at that time, at the time of death, the person will say to Allah, what he would say? لَوْلَا أَخَّرْتَنِي إِلَىٰ أَجَلٍ قَرِيبٍ. Ya Allah, why don't you give me a little more time? Why do you need some more time? فَأَصَّدَّ. So I give some charity, now I know I'm leaving. I don't need all of that money. فَأَصَّدَّ. So I can go and give charity now. Allah says, وَلَنْ يُؤَخِّرَ اللَّهُ نَفْسًا إِذَا جَاءَ أَجَلُهَا. The time is gone. This is why Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is advising us, قِنَاكَ قَبْلَ فَقْرِكَ. Use your wealth before you lose this wealth, before poverty will approach. Number three, وَصِحَّتُكَ قَبْلَ سَقْمِكَ. Use your health before you get sick. وَاللَّهُ أَعْلَمْ. When the situation of the health will change. How many people? They are not all young. We can't keep our wudu. What to do now? How many people would come and ask us questions, ask the imams, I can't keep the fast because I have to keep on taking the medication every 3 hours. I have to keep on eating every these many hours. I can't fast. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is advising us, use your health at this time. Before you will lose this health, before it's gone, and then we won't be able to do what we are able to do at this time. Now those of us who may have some health problem, we need to realize that this hadith is for us also, that use whatever you have at this time because you may not even have this much later on. At least if at this time you're able to sit on the chair and do the salah, later on you may not even be able to sit on the chair and do it. Use that opportunity at this time. صحتك قبل سنك وفراغك قبل شغلك. Use your free time before you get busy. What free time? You may be asking that question now. What are you talking about? Talking about something 1400 years ago. Who knows no more time these days. Really, if we look at our schedules, we have a lot of time. We have a lot of time. It's only we are not organizing ourselves so that we do everything in its proper time. We are not giving importance to the important things in our life. If just the well-used will change, the important things will have value in our mind, and we know what is important, then those things will have priority. Then if I have a choice between two things, I have to do this and this. So I will choose whatever is important. When there is choice between two, we will choose what is the most important. Why deen always stays behind? Because we don't have the importance of it. If we just give it the importance that it deserves, or at least not as much as deserves, over the dunya, over other things, over certain things that we are doing in our life, we will have a lot of time for it. Use this time, because we will be getting busier and busier. And we see in our past, we always thought, once I finish my education, then I will have a lot of time. Subhanallah, this is always hopes. If you sit, take a piece of paper, and then sit and think of those hopes that we have normally about time especially. When I will finish my education, then I will have a lot of time. Now, I have just started the work. So these are just the beginning stages of my work. So I'm going to get used to it. And after I have some experience and I get a little higher in my position, then I will have a lot of time. Then the person gets a step higher, another step, and a third step. Now he realizes that responsibilities are increasing from both sides, from work and from home. Before he wasn't married, now he's married. So now there he has to take care of two people. After some time, there are three more children also in the house. Imagine, would you have more time when you are by yourself or when you have four people with you in the house? Getting busier. And needs of those will keep on increasing. The needs don't reduce. They are increasing. Initially, I'm worried only about my education. My education was finished. I was worried about my work. Now, alhamdulillah, I got a good job. After that, I'm worried about marriage. I got married. That worry is gone. And I thought when these worries are over, then I have nothing to worry about. Now, in fact, the worries have increased that I have to earn more. We have to buy a house too now. We have to get settled. For how long we are going to just keep on paying rents? So okay, let's work towards buying a house. I can't do it myself. So she's working and I'm working. And how about the education of our children? Right now they're in the school and they will have to go to college and universities. How are we going to pay all of those tuitions? So now we have to work even harder. These responsibilities are increasing. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is telling us, at this time, whichever situation you are in at this time, use your time, whatever you have at this time. Make use of it. Publish it before you start getting busy. So don't think, I will get free tomorrow. As Imam Ghazali rahimahullah has given a beautiful example. He says there are people who say, I will do this thing tomorrow because today I'm busy. So he says, look at your schedule of tomorrow. Do you have space to do the things of today and tomorrow, both tomorrow? Tomorrow you won't be able to finish tomorrow's work. So why you're postponing today's work for tomorrow? Then you will have to do tomorrow 2 days work. And you don't have the time to do even 1 day's work in a day. So he says, every day make sure you do the work of that day. And especially when it comes to practicing the deen, normally this is the thought that comes. Inshallah, now from next Jum'ah, I will start doing this. Then, next Ramadan, mashallah, it seems it's only tomorrow. So next Ramadan, I will start. And we have passed about 20, 30 years of our lives promising ourselves the same thing, that it will be only next Ramadan now. That Ramadan never came. So, faraghuka qabla shughlik. Make use of your free time before you get busier. We are busy before you get busier than you are. Number 5, وَحَيَاتُكَ قَبْلَ مَوْتِكَ. You say, I'm very busy, I'm sick, I'm poor, I have nothing. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, at least you have one thing. You have your life at this time. Use it before you even lose this life now. If you think you have nothing, still you have this life. Use your life. Somehow make good use of it. Because soon you will even lose this life. Believe me, if people in their graves have an opportunity of coming out for a second, if Allah will allow them to come out for a second, They will not give it up and they will not say, I can't do nothing in a second. No, let me go back, at least I may be able to say Subhanallah. Because they have seen the well use of those. Using the time now. It's only we make the right use of this time and learn the importance of it. So this time that we have, it's very important, extremely important. We have to make sure that we learn how to use our time. Those scholars of Islam, or even the non-Muslims. Look at the even non-Muslims who have done any great work and have great achievements in their lives. And I even, many times I tell my friends, that even today, when we are blaming people here and there and pointing finger towards others, that look those, that person, that person, that person. That person is using his time and energy and this is why he's doing whatever he's able to do. You do the same thing and we'll see what happens then. If I keep on sleeping and I'm pointing finger, that look at that person is trying to break my house. Okay, go and work on yourself. Do what you have to do. But we can't be just sleeping, doing nothing and then complaining. That's the thing. We have to learn how to use our time. So anyone who really had achievement in this life, it was because they made the use of their time. Scholars of Islam especially, those who really made use of every second of their life. When we look at some of their lives and we read the biographies of the scholars of Islam, it's very amazing. You find amazing things there. Dawood al-Tayy rahimahullah, one of the well-known scholars, instead of eating bread, most of his life, he would always eat crumb. He would ask his wife to make sure and let the bread dry, and then she will make crumbs out of it. Then he would mix it with the water and drink it instead of eating it. Instead of eating the bread, he will mix that crumb with the water and drink it. So once some of his students told him, Sheikh, why are you doing this for? We never saw you eating. He says, you know what's the difference between the two? And I asked him, what's the difference? He said, the difference is of 50 ayahs. Look at that calculation. The difference is of 50 ayahs. That between eating the bread, the time that I put in there, instead of that, if I would just drink this and then use the time and recite the Quran, I can recite 50 more ayahs that day. I will say the difference is $10 an hour. Their calculation is totally different, 50 ayahs. And it's really the value in our mind. Our time is only money. And if there is no money coming through the time, then let's just put it anywhere. Then we don't know what to do. Therefore we have a term here, normally young people use it. Let's go and kill time. They want to kill time. They use it. Let's kill some time. What to do? Let's go to mall. Go to mall to kill some time. They don't know what to do with it. The difference is 50 ayahs. Imagine if a person is calculating even these times between eating and just drinking the crumb with the water, and he's calculating that it comes to 50 ayahs, how much use of time this person would be making of his life throughout his life. Instead, counting these ayahs, 50 ayahs per day, reward of each ayah, of each word, 10 times the reward per letter. Subhanallah, how higher than us these people will be in Akhirah. Imam Abu al-Wafa ibn Aqil rahimahullah, well-known scholar when it comes to Islamic books. And especially, if you want to see something, achievement of Muslim scholars, there isn't any book that we know of, at least, in the history that was larger in volume than this book written by Abu al-Wafa ibn Aqil rahimahullah. He wrote a book in 800 volumes. A a book in 800 volumes, where he covered every science that has any relationship with Islamic sciences, that would help understanding any of the Islamic sciences. So Tahara, then he will go into the details of Tahara. What is the way of getting the Tahara? What is the way of purification? And then he would mention 40 different methods of purifying things. He will go to the next topic. So 800 volumes that he has written of only one of his books. Hafiz ibn Hajar rahimahullah, well-known scholar of Islam. He wrote about 150 books. But if you start looking at his books, Tahzib al-Tahzib in 12 volumes, Fath al-Bari in about, nowadays the way they're printing nowadays, I think it's coming about 14-15 volumes. We don't even have time just to read the books these people have written. Where did they get all of that time from? They were using their time. They made the good use, the right use of it. And we are killing our time. We don't know what to do when we are free. Really, literally, it happens to us. We don't know what to do. So let's sleep for some more hours. Let's watch some more programs. Let's just sit and chat. Because we don't know what to do. That's time. So time is just going. And whatever use we make of this time, that's the use of our life. This is what we are going to be getting in our akhirah. Our qabr, our grave is the container of deeds. This time that we will be using in this world, all of these time that we have any use for, it will become a deed and it will go into that container that we will see as soon as we are put in there. Whatever we put in that container, we will see it once we depart this world. So time is one of the most important things. If we know the importance of this time, now we need to know how to make a good use of it. Subhanallah, if we look at normal person's life, especially in this part of the world, every person works about 8 hours a day. To make the calculations simple, I'm going to use some figures, they may not be exact. Say if an average lifespan of a person is 63 years. 63 years of our life, we spend 8 hours a day at work, so those are 21 years of our life. One third. Then, almost same amount of hours, we are sleeping and resting. 20 more years, 21 years more are gone. 42 years of our life are gone out of 63. A child doesn't start doing anything until certain age. I'm going to use a lesser amount and say, okay, let's say we were good children and we started really working very hard and started our ibadahs and everything at the age of 10. So those 10 years are gone prior to that. So now we had 42, add 10 more to it, that's 52 years of our life are gone out of 63. You have 11 more years. What do we do in these 11 years? Between our eating, necessities of the life, entertainment, traveling, whatever else we are doing in our life, this is where the rest of the time goes. How much time are we spending in the ibadah per day? The purpose of the life, the reason for which we were sent to this world, how much time is used for that? I think I will be on the safe side and say an hour a day. Our 5 prayers, I don't think they take us more than half an hour, but let's say hour a day. If really it's hour a day, in 63 years taking it from the childhood, it comes to about 2.5 years throughout our life that we have performed ibadah. These are some realities in our lives. 2.5 years if we have lived for 63 years and did ibadah throughout our year, our life, an hour a day. 2.5 years out of 63. Say 3 years, 60 years are being used for something else. One thing, one reminder here is, of course, we need to start looking at our schedules. And making good use of the time and making a schedule such that we have the maximum use of our time. Number two, which really is the essence of this topic, and I would like to remind ourselves, myself and everyone here, and that is the time when we are working, the time when we are spending any time with our families, or we are doing anything else, the beauty of our deen is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us the opportunity of making all of the time and converting all of the time into ibadah. You don't have to leave work. You don't have to leave your family. You don't have to just run away from the world and go instead living in the jungles. This is the beauty of this deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that all of the time can become ibadah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala if we keep in mind three things. Number one, at the time when we are working, we don't neglect the other fara'id of Islam, because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, طَلَبُ الْحَلَالِ فَرِيضَةٌ بَعْدَ الْفَرِيضَةِ. Earning halal is fariḍa after the other fara'id, which means, as sometimes we say, oh, I'm working and this is fariḍa on me, so if I miss the salah because of that, this is also fard. It's fariḍatun ba'da al-fariḍa. After that fariḍa, you have to fulfill those fara'id. You cannot neglect those fara'id because of this fard. So number one, we are not neglecting the other fara'id of Islam. Number two, the means of working and earning are halal. And of course, no matter what, these conditions should be fulfilled in every Muslim's life. If these conditions are really fulfilled in our lives, and we are fulfilling our fara'id, which is the situation in most of the cases, alhamdulillah, then most of the ummah that are working, inshallah, they are working and they are fulfilling the fara'id even at work. They make some time, do the fara'id, do the salawat, whatever else needs to be done. And their earning is halal. Their work is halal. Then, if these two conditions are fulfilled, we have to just bring a third change, which is very minor. And then the whole time will become ibadah. And that is, just make the right intention when we are doing that work, when we are going to work. With having the right intention, all of that time, inshallah, will become ibadah. And the intention is, I'm not here to just increase my asset, to become a wealthy man, or to buy this and that. I'm here because it's part of my responsibility. It's my responsibility to earn. And of course, if I'm working, then I have to fulfill the requirements of work also, and I have to come 5 times a day. I have to come. I can work 3 times, although that's enough for me, for my living, but I can't do it. I won't find that job, so I will work 5 days a week, I will work 6 days a week. You have to work 7 days, I'll work 7 days a week. To fulfill that requirement, I'm not neglecting the other requirements of my deen. But the intention is, I'm doing it because it's part of my responsibility as follower of the Sharia of Islam. With that intention, the whole time over there at work becomes ibadah. You're earning reward while you're working. In fact, not only this, this is still a work, something that we all have to do. Imagine when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was telling Sahaba ridwanullahi alayhi wa jama'een how to convert every deen into ibadah, and he's giving them some examples, and he kept on going and going and going, and finally he came to an example where Sahaba had to ask a question. They couldn't hold it anymore. He said, وَفِي بُضْعِ أَحَدِكُمْ صَدَقَةً. You fulfill your lust and desire with your wife, there is sadaqah. Ya Rasulullah, please. Now, to that extent, sadaqah even in these things? He said, yes, you are getting the reward for that. Why, Ya Rasulullah? And they asked it very clearly, يَأْتِي أَحَدُنَا شَهْوَةً أَوْ نَهْمَةً. They said, Ya Rasulullah, we fulfill our desire. He said, wouldn't the person get sin if he would do it in haram? Yes, Ya Rasulullah, he would get sin if he would do it in haram. So now if he's getting married and he's doing it, using his everything in halal, why shouldn't he get a reward for it? SubhanAllah. He's avoiding the sin through this. So you're avoiding haram by doing something halal. So when you're doing that halal, the intention is, I want to stay away from haram. And here, even that relationship becomes reward. If that is reward, then what can be beyond this? I mean, what else we can say it cannot become? Yes, as long as it's not a sin. A person cannot commit a sin, commit a haram, and think that I'm earning reward because I have a good intention for doing it. I'm backbiting someone because this brother will be very happy. I'm pleasing this brother. My intention is only to please this brother because you get reward when you please someone. So I backbite that person who he doesn't like. This won't become rewarding. This won't become ibadah. Because we are totally opposing the teachings of Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and whatever have been clearly instructed and taught by Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and we have informed about it that it's haram, it's forbidden, then no one can turn it into ibadah. That's it. That's gone. That's out now. Just like a person came to the masjid. I think it was Imam Muhammad ibn Sirin rahimahullah, well known of the tabi'een. He's sitting in the masjid. That person comes and he performs the salah. Then he comes to Muhammad ibn Sirin rahimahullah and he says that someone was telling me I'm not supposed to pray at this time. That was after Asr, just at the time of ghurub, he's doing the salah. So now he wants to use his brain. And he's understanding. At some other time we may say, oh, my common sense says this. And subhanAllah, the person has no sense. Forget about having a common sense. The word common sense means everyone's sense has to be common about it. But his sense is totally unique about it and he feels that's a common sense. So, he goes to Muhammad ibn Sirin rahimahullah and he says, would Allah punish me for doing salah? I have just performed the salah and that brother over there is telling me that is not allowed for me to do the salah. Now, I'm asking you, would Allah punish me for doing salah? Now imagine if he says yes. What is he going to do? Go out and tell everyone, see, Muhammad ibn Sirin says, you will be punished if you do salah. He gave a beautiful reply. He said, Allah will not punish you for doing the salah. Allah will punish you for opposing His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam because He said, don't do it at this time. So things that are haram, we cannot change them with a good intention. They will remain haram. But things that are mubahat in Islam, that are allowed for us to do, in those things, we should really be learn how to make a good intention before doing anything. As one of the scholars have mentioned, he says, when I go home and before I start playing with my children, I give time to children, and before I start playing with my children, I just pause for a minute and remind myself that even Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to play with his children and grandchildren. So this is a sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He says, then I start playing with my children. Whatever time I spend with my children, I'm expecting reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for it, because I'm doing it with the intention of following the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So even that is becoming rewarding. This is why we say that our complete deen is ibadah. The complete life of a mu'min is ibadah. And that is the reason Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us, when the person will be raised from his grave on the day of judgment, one of the first questions will be asked, عَنْ عُمْرِهِ فِي مَا أَفْنَى. Where did you spend your life? And at that time, really, there will be some people who will be able to say, my whole life was ibadah. When I was sleeping, that was ibadah. When I was eating, that food was ibadah. When I was working, that was ibadah. My marriage was ibadah. My time with my children was ibadah. My time with my friends was ibadah. When I went to visit some of my friends and they were sick, that was ibadah. All of these things were ibadah. And this can be true for all of us. Look what a great treasure we have. And within our control. And we don't even have to change anything over there. It's not that, okay, instead of playing with your children for half an hour, you have to reduce it to 15 minutes. No, give them the half an hour. Islam doesn't stop you from that. Just think of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and of the deen of Allah. Think of your situation as a Muslim, that I'm doing it because I'm Muslim. Subhanallah. What a great reminder. And what a great treasure that we all have, and many of us may be using it for a long time of our life. Of course, intention is something that comes from heart. It's an action of a heart. Why we are not able to remember these things? Things are very simple. Things are very easy. If someone would tell us, at our workplace, if they would tell us, whenever you drive your car, if your intention is that you're driving the car as an employee of a company, even if you're not doing our work, you're driving your own car and going for your own work. Just you have intention before getting into the car that I'm driving the car as an employee of the company, then whatever gas you're spending on your car, we will pay you back for it. But when you don't have that intention and you just drive for yourself, for your own pleasure, then we won't pay you for that. Won't we make sure that let me always make intention no matter where I'm going? I'll make that intention. So my gas is free. Just to get free gas, we will make sure that we make that intention. Subhanallah. What Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us. And how much He's giving us for it. And we are missing it. It's a treasure within our control. But the thing that makes us lose it and miss it is really the situation of the heart. We have to touch on that field also, on that topic also. Why we are not able to make that intention, in spite of knowing it. And this may not be new for many of us. Most of us may have known this already, that all of this is ibadah. And there can be ibadah in our life, but we have not been using it. The reason? Because intention comes from heart, and the heart never turns toward that direction. Thinks about anything else and everything else, except about akhirah, except about deen. What's the reason for it? Remember, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us in a hadith, the first three people that will be thrown in Jahannam on the Day of Judgment. One will be a mujahid, who have given his life for the sake of Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will call him and will ask him, I gave you that strength. What did you do? Ya Allah, I did jihad in your path. I did this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, kadhabt. وَتَقُولُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ كَذَبْتُ. And the angels will say to him, you are lying. Allah will say, you are lying. The angels will say, you are lying. قُلْتْ قَاتَلْتَ لِيُقَالَ جَرِيمُ وَقَدْ قِيمُ. You were fighting so that people will say he's brave. And that was said, what do you need from me? Another person will be called. Very wealthy person. Spent a lot of wealth in the path of Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will call him in public and will ask him, I blessed you with so much wealth, what did you do with it? Ya Allah, I spent so much in your path. I gave these people this much. I gave it to that masjid. I gave it to that cause. I put so much there. يَقُولُ اللَّهُ كَذَبْتَ وَتَقُولُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ كَذَبْتَ. Allah will say you're lying. The angels will say you're lying. He is not lying that about giving. He really gave it. He really gave it. He has all witnesses. Everyone will witness. Even Allah knows that He has given it. But you did not give it for my sake. You gave it so that people will say He's very generous. وَقَدْ قِيلْ. And they said it. What do you need from me? A third person is called. Who is he? A great alim, a great scholar of Islam. Did a lot of work, taught a lot of people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask him, I blessed you with so much knowledge. What did you do with all of that knowledge? Ya Allah, I taught so many people, all of those are my students. Allah will say, you are lying. Angels will say, you are lying. You did not do it. So that before the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you did it. So people will say that he is a great scholar. That was said. What do you need from me now? Heart is not proper. إِنَّ فِي الْجَسَدِ لَمُضْغَى إِذَا صَلَحَتْ صَلَحَ الْجَسَدُ كُلُّهُ وَإِذَا فَسَدَتْ فَسَدَ الْجَسَدُ كُلُّهُ. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, there is a flesh in a human body. If that piece of flesh is clean and proper and perfect, all the other things will be perfect also in the person's life. But if that piece of flesh is not perfect, then nothing will be perfect in this person's life. Ala wahiya al-qalb, that is the heart. Intentions are not pure. Even when we are doing a'malu saliha, when we are doing the fara'id, when we are fulfilling our responsibilities of deen, even at that time our intentions are not proper. Forget about correcting our intention in mubahat. So this is the step where we have to stand. Working on our heart, so at least at the beginning, at the time of a'malu saliha, when I'm doing the salah, when I'm doing some good deeds, my intention is, I'm doing it only and solely for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nothing else. I did this service to this brother. Later on, this brother, in return, he did something against me. Next time, I will not do any good thing for any person. Why? Because I did it, if my intention was I'm doing it for Allah, I know that Allah is happy, I'll do it for everyone else too. But I did it, so I get some good words from the brother, and I didn't get it. وَمَا أُمِرُوا إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ مُخْلِصِينَ لَهُ الدِّينَ. They were asked to worship Allah. In which way? مُخْلِصِينَ لَهُ الدِّينَ. Devoting their lives, deen, complete way of life. Devoting their deen, their life, only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَذَلِكَ دِينُ الْقَيِّمَةِ. And that is the straight path. So what is the straight path? This is the straight path of devoting everything for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whatever we do, it's for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So standing, this will be the standing point. Control our heart. Start working on our heart. And more, many times what happens is, a person will perform a good deed. Shaitan will come to this person and says to him, that look, you are not doing it for the sake of Allah. There is some other intention in your heart. So after some time, the person, instead of correcting his intention, will give up that good deed. I don't want to do it. Why? Because I don't have ikhlas. Totally wrong way of dealing with it. This is what Shaitan wanted. What we have to do is, at the time of standing the deed, we make the proper intention. Ya Allah, this salah is for your sake. And you stand the salah. No matter what Shaitan says later on, at the end of the salah, tell him, it was for Allah. That's it, I'm done. A person came to Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah. He says, Imam, I have a problem. Whenever I go to my wife, something is telling me that I have divorced my wife. So whenever I sit with my wife, I feel that I have divorced her. So I can't be with her anymore. So he said to him, yes, you did divorce her, didn't you? He said, no, I didn't. He said, yeah, you did. No, I didn't. He says, okay, when that shaitan comes and whispers to you that you have divorced your wife, tell him the same way you are telling me, no, I didn't. Why do you listen to that whispering? Subhanallah, what a beautiful way. Why do we have to listen to his whisperings? That's all he has. Amazing hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'in complained, Ya Rasulullah, We keep on getting these type of whispers from shaitan. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, instead of getting upset or worried, you see a smile on his face. What does he say? He says to them, Alhamdulillahi alladhi radda amrahu ila alwaswasa. We thank Allah that He gave him power only to whisper, nothing more than that. He can't hold your ear. Come, let's go out of the masjid. You can't pray anymore. He doesn't have that power. So all he can do, the poor guy can do, is just whisper. So don't worry about his whispering. We are not responsible for it. This is beauty. We are not responsible for whatever he says. So we stand with the proper intention. Let him say whatever he says. At the end, again, refresh your intention, saying to yourself, between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ya Allah, this is for you. It was for you. Any other feeling that came in between, inshallah, we are not responsible for it. It was only a whisper. Don't even worry about it. And this is how we start, inshallah, we start working on our intentions and start correcting our intentions for all of our ibadahs and all the mubahat. Then all of these mubahat, inshallah, will become part of our ibadah. And every ibadah that we perform, everything that we perform in our life, inshallah, it will be part of our deen and part of our amal al-salihah. And at that time, it will be very easy, inshallah, to refrain from sins. Why? Because you are of the habit of making good intention before doing anything and turning everything into good intention, into good deed. Now when you are committing a sin, you will think, this I can't afford to do sin because this cannot become a good deed. So you have the value of your time, you have the value of the good deed, all of your times are good deeds now, without changing your schedules, all of your times are good deeds, there is no room in between that to do any haram and to do any sin. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the right understanding of deen and give us tawfiq to really benefit from this deen, benefit from the beauty of this deen, this beautiful deen and the easy things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed us. As He says again and again, that I made this deen very easy for you. Really, it's very simple and easy. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq to take advantage of this beautiful and easy deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين والمسلمات وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين. Thank you.